This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, everyone. We're back. I hope you missed us.
Oh, my God. I've missed you all. I've missed you all indeed.
How has your week been, Hartha? Your week off?
Can I just say, I have experienced, I think I've reached the age now where it's like, if I do one activity in the week, I'm finished. It's knocked me out.
I know. We had quite a busy week, to be fair.
I feel like we had two family weddings that we went to, and on the third day, I just felt like
I was
death.
Finished on that Friday. Finished.
I just felt like death. Honestly, I don't understand how we ever went out and did stuff like 3-4 times a week.
Do you think we're malnourished, malnutritioned?
I don't know, because I've recently been taking my tablets, the old vitamin D, the iron. I even started taking chlorophyll.
But do you think there's just like a backlog of disnourishment?
Yeah,
whatever. I don't mean the deficiency.
Dismoral.
But do you think there's like a backlog? I feel like I have a backlog. Since coming back from New York, I've not been on it with the
at
tablets.
All. No, of course, I get that. Yeah. But you know what it is? I also think it's the lifestyle, like especially the lifestyle that I have. I don't really sleep well. And
yeah.
Sleep is a big factor.
And it's quite busy in your household,
yeah,
isn't it?
So it's like, for me, if I get a good 6 to 7 hours, I know some of you guys are thinking, what, that's not enough. People that have children, I think they understand. But if I get
I can't relate, I'm sorry.
One day, Colton, she'll be in this position and I'll be laughing.
No, guys, if I don't get a solid 8 hours, I'm a zombie.
Yeah, welcome to parenthood, love. That ship has sailed. But what I'm trying to say is, I think my biggest problem is not sleeping properly, and then on top of that, it just really F's up the whole day. So for me, going to these events, not sleeping properly,
waking up for work the next morning, waking up for the kids.
Oh god,
I can't even imagine.
I was on overdrive, love, on the Saturday.
So sometimes I get really shy to talk about my exhaustion around you.
Oh no, darling, it's
should
not
we change
a competition.
The subject? Should we change the subject? I get a full 8 hours and I'm finished.
But that's just the world we live in. It's not a competition. Don't worry, it's not Struggle Olympics here.
Anyway.
Carry on.
It's hard. You know what? I just feel like the older I get, the more difficult it is.
I think it is age, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, I need a full day to recover from an evening.
Literally.
Or even if it's something like a small event where you go around smiling at people, your face hurts when you come back, your social batteries are dead. The next day, I can't.
And I think, and one thing I've learned about myself, if there's like anticipation for an event, so if it's like a family wedding that I was told 3 months ago and it's slowly creeping up, the anxiety, the excitement, that also takes energy.
Yes.
Do you not feel like it?
Like mentally.
It destroys you. So then by the time the event finishes, you're dancing, you've done everything that you've done, you've come back and the emotion, it's just too much.
You built up the event in your mind.
Literally.
That's drained. That's got your battery on like 50% at least. And then the rest of it is the actual event.
And then I went off and did barambur, form of bloody exercise. It's a traditional dance.
How was the hip?
Oh, it's okay now.
Okay, good.
Guys, I've got a part, I wouldn't say disability, but I've an inability to walk sometimes.
Have you been watching the Kardashians?
No. Does Kim go through my issues?
No, look, Chris is a hip problem. Obviously, she's like 70, whatever, 60, but I just remembered that.
It reminded me of you. Honestly, though, sometimes I do feel like I'm in the body of an 80-year-old. I'm like, why do my hips not work? I'm only 28. What is
so
going on?
So you need
on?
To give the backstory. So the hip.
Oh, yeah. My my last child was a very large child. And I think, you know what I think? It's the position in which I gave birth has really effed me up. So
was
basically,
it in like the Hergesa peeing position?
No. I wish I did that. That's such a good position.
That's quite a good position.
That is such a good position. What I did is I was in like a warm, hot water bath. It was a bath, but the bath was quite deep and it was like a jacuzzi without the bubbles, right? I was holding on to the stairs and like I was like kind of angled to the side. like this. I don't know when you guys see the footage on YouTube.
Were you like, was it like a form of pain relief? Like, yeah. You're like pushing, so you're like, and I'm like, turned your body.
Yeah, to like give my body more strength. Mm. And then like, I just kept pushing and straining in that position. Ooh. And then my hips were already weak because, you know, when you're giving birth, your ligaments and all that become loose. And I think I did something to my hip on
I
that.
I think it might have been that.
And then him coming out with his fat head.
When I saw the size of this baby for the first time, guys, I was gobsmacked.
No one believed me. Like, when I was like pregnant and I was like, guys, this baby is humongous. And everyone was like, no, just calm down. Like, I couldn't walk.
The body was quite small. He was a little bit heavy,
no,
but
he was
head,
chunky. I felt the like the shoulders, the head, it was all chunky.
So this kid looked at least 4 months old when he was born. He looked like... he should have his, do you know what I mean? He should be going to work.
Literally. It was just, and I remember like giving birth, I literally got up and I couldn't walk. And you know, with Idris, I could just get up and walk. That's when I knew
Idris
I really...
Idris is tiny.
Yeah, he was a tiny baby, but still, like, honestly, he really effed me over. But what made me laugh is when he was like on the table and then the late nurse is like putting his clothes on. I was just staring at him like, that huge baby came out of me.
The thing is though, we did anticipate that he was a big baby, because remember there was a period where like the last few days before you went into labor you couldn't even walk anymore. Yeah. And everyone kept telling you need to walk and you were
I can't. It was so painful
because he was like stuck. I don't even even describe the biology of this. Guys. But he was just causing you so much pain, wasn't
that
he?
That pregnancy traumatized me. I don't think I could do it again. But on to you, love.
Me.
You will be giving us some offspring, inshallah. Hopefully some girls.
Inshallah. Yeah, there's not enough girls in this family anymore. And you know, this is a family dominated by women. It's just not
enough. You know, when I think, whenever there's loads of boys, I always think it's like judgment day is coming.
Oh, good tape. Do you know how they said there's going to be more men than women?
Yeah, I always feel like judgment day is coming.
And there's not going to be enough men for a girl, which is why this four wives thing is
really
I think that might be the hidden behind it. Maybe
don't judge us, guys, we're not scholars, but yeah. But the point is, I always think that, but then I always think to myself, I'm the mother of sons. Do you know what I mean?
The mother of dragons. Speaking of dragons, what did you think of House of Dragon finale?
Oh, Rhaenyra.
Like,
stare at the end.
You know, it was like something snapped in her, wasn't it?
Oh, but her dragon. Do you know what? Spoilers, because you know what? You should have watched it by now.
Do you know what I mean? It's been a week.
It's been more than a week. No, it has been a week. Mm. Let's just discuss it. Right. The dad dies.
Oh my
then
God,
her
how
baby
scary
dies.
He looks so scary.
The makeup on that set. The
Amazing.
Makeup artist,
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. They need to win an Oscar. Do shows win Oscars?
Is it Oscar?
An Academy
What's Grammy
Award.
Then?
A Grammy's
It's Grammy
music.
The music one. BAFTA.
No, BAFTA's the British version.
It's got to be Oscar then.
It's got to be an Oscar. I think shows win Oscars, don't
they? They do.
Yeah.
Wait, is it films or shows?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, let's just...
Dumb moment, you lot tell us. Anyway, they need to give that person who does the costumes,
the makeup, the wigs. Definitely a black woman.
The wigs is definitely a black woman.
The lace. You don't even see lace.
It's seamless.
It's called something lace. And it's like a particular type of invisible HD lace.
Oh, did you hear that?
Cadet.
They've got that. That's premium lace, that is. And that person needs to get an Oscar.
Yeah.
Secondly, Damon.
Damon,
I just feel like he can be selfish.
He's
but
a little
I
bit
also,
scary sometimes.
Like when he grabbed her on the throat, I didn't understand. And I understood that he probably did that because he was angry that she wasn't reacting. Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted peace.
Yeah. And I
so
think
he's
that's
probably
why...
trying to... ignite the flames in
exactly
her.
And I think that's why Viserys chose her.
Too aggressive.
Anyway, he grabbed her by the throat, that really triggered
me. And he was
me.
Holding on. Oh my God, the scene that made me feel absolutely sick to my stomach, and sorry to the mothers that may have experienced this. But how graphic.
Ugh, I didn't watch
that.
I had to fast forward.
Oh my God.
Because I would have fainted.
And they kept zooming into the baby like you know, usually when something graphically you know, they get that feeling. They usually like do a scene change quite quickly. There was no quick scene change. They were zooming in on that baby, holding the lens.
But I think it was just to show the intensity of that situation and how important the baby girl was to her.
I genuinely felt
so bad.
Something turn in my stomach.
I know. What's even worse, I felt like, is the fact that she went through that trauma, didn't even have time to adjust process. Or process it.
There's like a war.
A pending war happening, yeah. And then she just had to go out and be a queen. Isn't that what women go through all the time?
I know.
Isn't that just the personification? Is that the right word?
Personification.
Of what the life of women is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. English lit us.
I know. I was going to say, do you remember the anthology?
Oh my God.
Do you remember the anthology video that we did? It's hilarious.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
But yeah, that's House of Dragons for you. And then the end. Oh my God,
how
great was the CGI in the sky?
And you know what?
Did you see his face afterwards?
He was shocked because I think what they did, apparently what they did differently to the book, because in the book he intended to kill
him. Yeah, because he didn't see
But in this one, it looked like he couldn't get a control of Vhagar.
Mm.
And Vhagar is a war dragon.
Then I think he also regretted what he'd done.
Yeah, of course, because he was like, Vhagar, stop!
Yeah, because that's what's going to lead to the war. Another thing that I wanted to mention was the dragon that Daemon was singing to.
Oh yeah, that's a dragon, but she's not. Yeah, but she's not as big as Vhagar.
Oh,
she's
also,
Vhagar's the biggest one.
So, but this dragon's older than Vhagar.
Yeah, but I think Vhagar's the biggest one. That's why Sauron took
because he's basically trying to gather the dragons for war. Mm. And they haven't got a lot of fighter dragons. They've got loads of, like, baby dragons.
Baby dragons. Oh,
I know.
Anyway, I just felt like...
So imagine dragon taming. He was like...
Don't you just love Daemon? Like, he's just gathering dragons for his love.
I know.
It's just...
That he occasionally grabs by the throat.
Do you know what I mean? But still, I mean, okay, we can't really bypass the abuse, but compare that to men in this era.
Do you think that Daemon respects Rhaenyra? I feel like he was nicer to Laena. Is that her name? Laena Velaryon? Laena?
No, I think he respects her, but I think what triggered him is the fact that also his brother died. He assumed that they assassinated him. Mm. And his first thought or his viewpoint in life is basically to attack. Whereas Rhaenyra is taking a more, like, her father's approach.
But I think that's quite clever.
It is, though, and I think that's I was going to say that's the Hikmah behind why Viserys... But that's the reasoning by why Viserys chose her.
Yeah,
instead of someone that's like...
I think she's more like him.
Yeah, and that's why Rhaenys respected her afterwards. Because she realised she was the only one out of all those men that are like chattering in her ear to keep the peace and think of other ways.
She's basically, her decision is final at the end of the day. And her decision was against everyone else's. So hold tight, Rhaenyra.
Anyway, new season's coming out in 2024.
I know, what's the point?
But do you know what? It's okay, because I think about it, 2022 went really quickly. We're already in November.
Oh, I don't want to talk about how quickly time goes. It just scares me.
It is.
It makes me feel anxious. Anyway, should we begin? It's been 13 minutes of chitter chatter.
Sorry, guys, if you're not into House of Dragon, but I think you should be.
Yeah, so I think you should all watch it with us. Now it's finished, so we can't really discuss in the DMs.
If you're into Turkish shows, there's a show called, I don't know, it's called Yali something, but it's so good. I'm going to post it on the story so you guys can see. I think a lot of you guys are Turkish show fans. Kevde Sevda, you remember that?
I didn't watch that.
Did you not? Oh, no. So good.
I didn't watch it. I watched Dubai Bling. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm saving that for Friday.
Oh, we'll do that next episode.
We'll do that next episode, because I need to save it for Friday. Right, guys, let's begin our brand new scenario that we've just gotten. Oopsie daisy. I hope you guys are well. Also, I just want to say a lot of you guys are sending in scenarios that are quite...
X-rated.
Very X-rated. And I just feel like... We will try our... I don't think we're able to answer most of them because they're very X-rated. And secondly,
I think we can read them, but we might have to reword
Yeah.
It's slightly, so it is, so it's less salacious.
It's just, it's a bit much sometimes. And I also think about what we use our platform for. Like, we're happy to talk about anything and everything related to women.
Yeah.
We don't censor people, but it's the way that you write it. So maybe you're right, Colton. Maybe we have to reword things.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to take away from the story. It's just, you know, when, like, let's say a line
is very
graphic and explicit, we can just... Either we can read over it, because I don't think we need to read about
the
description
don't.
Of what
happens. And the other thing I was going to say is, if we don't respond or read out your scenario in one of our episodes, then one of us will try and reply to you via email to at least give you some insight and what our advice could be. So do please be patient with us, because we do actually receive quite a few scenarios and we have to vet them, go through them, really discuss it, just so we can give you the best advice that we can. So that's just the only disclaimer that I wanted to say. But in other news, love you guys, and let's begin. Right, so this one is, am I the arsehole for clapping back after my friends continually made fun of me for driving an old car? Okay. I, female 30, drive a 14-year-old Honda. My parents helped me buy it when I was in high school, and I've kept it all these years. It has proven very reliable over the years, and it's old. It serves its purpose, and I don't really see the point in spending all kinds of money on a new car. I have two friends who always ask me why I drive an old beater when I have a good job and can easily afford a newer, nicer car. Like, when I say always, I mean it comes up every time we hang out. I always shut them up and try to change the topic, because I don't feel that my financial decisions are anyone's business. Indeed. I just tell them I plan to drive the car until it dies, and then I move on to another subject. Both of these friends drive really nice cars, and one has an Audi SUV, and the other has a BMW SUV that they both bought brand new. But they both live in crappy apartments, and personally, I don't understand why someone would buy a 70k car when that money could be used towards saving for a home. But like I said, I don't think financial decisions are anyone else's business, so I've never voiced that opinion until recently. I just bought a house.
Oh, congrats.
My friends were raging on me, saying I'm going to have such a nice house, but I'm going to be parking the old crappy Honda in the driveway.
What?
They said it's a shame and will be an eyesore.
That's really rude.
At that point, I said I choose not to buy a new car because, frankly, cars are expensive. They continued to push the topic and said that they couldn't understand how they can afford to buy nice cars and I can't. I was getting annoyed at this point and I said, well, I don't understand how I can afford a house and you guys can't. Maybe it's because all the money you've wasted on your useless status symbols, and I can afford to buy a fancy German cars like yours, but it's a bad investment and a waste of money. My friends are saying I'm an arsehole for calling their cars useless status symbols because they've worked hard to buy them, just like I worked hard to buy my house. My comment created a huge rift in the group, but I feel like they should have just stayed in their lane.
As someone who's had has been made fun of for the car that they drive, and I won't say who made fun of me, but as someone who has also driven
the green Suzuki
a beat up it wasn't even beat up, it was just really brightly colored and it was like, when you saw it, you knew I was here. let's just say that.
It was a car.
And people laughed at me for that car. And you know who had the last laugh? Them, because the car broke.
Can I just say, though, that car was like, you know, a country dad who was living somewhere in like Kansas City. That's the type of car that he drove. And I have to say, that was a really good car. You know where I took that car? Did my first ever motorway trip on Kent. I think we dropped...
And then what happened?
Nothing. To the trip on motorway.
You crashed into an Audi with a brand new baby inside.
Guys, let me tell you this.
And my premium went up.
No, but we got... Okay, wait. Let me tell you guys the story. So this is what happened. So that's not the day that crash happened.
That was. It was the hair appointment day.
No, I took your mum to Kent another time.
Oh, for the graduation. Yeah.
And that, I was really anxious, but we passed that. Anyway, so this is what happened. So I just got my license, you know. Let me just enjoy myself.
Eager to drive.
Couture, let me drive the car.
Insured, obviously.
Insured, of course. Anyway, so we were driving. Then we were leaving this petrol station somewhere in Kent, and I made the wrong turn in the petrol station. So stupid me thought, let me just quickly reverse back in.
And
reverse back in and take the turn. But then I don't know what happened. I thought I checked my mirrors. I didn't. I just went bang into a brand new SUV.
It was like an Audi Q7.
Oh, it was beautiful. Then this dad comes out with his whole family.
Oh, my God.
A brand new baby. I'm giving it the tears because I'm actually emotional. Colton's giving me the daggers because she's like, my premium. I've never crashed this car. And then the guy, I was like, listen. And then I'm not going to lie, he was exaggerating it a bit because he was like,
The bonnet was raised on his car.
No, it wasn't the bonnet. It was the, what's this bit? The front bit.
Oh, where the license plate
is. No, just above that. He had this like grill.
He had like a thing that
had cameras. So he was like, my cameras are broken. There was something happened to the bonnet. Colton's banger though. Nothing happened.
Nothing. I'm telling you, that car was blessed by Allah. Literally. It was blessed because it went through so much. And I tell you what, the moral of the story is, bangers are actually really good investments because A, you don't really care what happens to them, and B, nothing ever seems to happen to them.
No, that car didn't. It literally, the damage that the Audi got compared to our car. From that day on, I've never actually really crashed my car. Alhamdulillah, so I'm all right.
But the moral of the story is that this woman... Yeah, well, hey, don't be able to. But also, back to the scenario. This woman decided to purchase the car so that she can be able to afford other things in her life, i.e. buying a house. I think her investing in a beat-up car is actually quite good because she's able to afford things like a home because she's not paying stupid amounts of money for like insurance and gas. And I don't know, for some reason it sounds like her car is an economic
investment.
Doesn't take too much petrol.
Can I just say though, when your friends say to you, or they've like, you've commented on something about their lives and they've respectfully given you the hand to tell you, listen, don't get involved, like, you don't need to know more about this. I've already explained myself. I think it's really respectful to accept that and move on. I don't think you should push them.
But at the same time, to justify, like, it's a jokey situation. Like, every time someone made a joke about my car, I didn't really take it seriously. I'll just be like, oh, shut up. You ain't even got a car. Do you know what I mean? Like, she could have brushed it off. And I don't think it's something to, like, explode over or, like, do you know what I mean? Shit on your friends over. Because... you know, it's just not a big deal, I don't think. Like, I know that she did stop them a few times, but you know what your friends are like. Like, they'll always make fun of the things that... they just always make fun of you.
I feel like the way they said it to her and the way they kept repeating it wasn't nice. I think if someone was taking the piss out of your car, I think it's okay. But I think if someone's trying to ridicule you for the life choices you made about having a car... over, do you know what I mean? It's just dumb. I just don't think it's needed.
At the end of the day, like, you need to understand that these are her friends. They know what sort of life she leads. They have an idea that, you know, they've even mentioned that she's making enough money to be able to purchase a nicer car and stuff. I just think it's a passing joke and she took it seriously.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because it's a car. Like, how many things do we make fun of, like, each other about?
But what I'm saying is, the threshold of what you accept, let's say the threshold of what we say to each other, or let's say if my friends are
because
continuously...
now it looks like she feels a little bit insecure about the car.
Well, she probably does, but what I'm trying to say to you is there's a difference between what you can take and what I can take. Do you know what I mean? So if you, for example, feel like it's okay for your friends to just, you know, joke around with you, say whatever, you'll throw some jabs back, blah, blah, that might not be the same threshold for everyone. How do you know my girl's not going home and really internalizing that? How do we know that she's not insecure about the actual car?
But it's a car.
Yeah, like, but it's her business.
If it was like something on her face, if it was like a mole on her face, like, I can understand why she'd get emotional. But it's a flipping car.
But she's chosen it.
She's probably going to, like, do you know what I mean? She's probably going to get a better car, let's be real. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, I just don't think it's something to get annoyed about. Like, if it was, like, I would just say something about their shitty little like dog or something. Do you know what I mean?
But the point is, not everyone has the same comeback as what you would have. Do you know what I mean?
But you know what's going to happen now? Because now they can't, now that they've realised that, oh, like she's getting emotional because we made a few comments about her car, they're going to feel like, right, we've got to tread on eggshells now. There's certain things that we can,
but
can
why and can't though? Say but around. Why say we, it?
Like, let's not even have jokey banter with her.
But now you're what you're now saying is you're making it out like them making that comment is continuous banter.
But it
how
is
do
banter.
You know it is though?
It's funny.
No, it's not funny.
Like she drives a little beat up thing. Like it's funny. This is the
no,
thing people
I don't
do
think
to make
so.
Fun of.
I think the
but
way
if
they
it was
said
something
it.
That was if it was like a jab that was personal, like I can understand why she'd take that to heart. But this isn't something like.
So are you telling me that something about your life, yeah?
Like
whether
car,
it's
if it, was
it
my
doesn't
car.
Matter if it's
but
a car
I'm,
or
I'm
not.
Talking about a car. This is why I said if it was something personal, like if it's something that was like something that I was insecure about, because now it's obvious that she's insecure about a car, and I would never ever show my friends that I'm insecure about the car driving. I would brandish it like, yeah, this is me, and what this is what I drive. Like if she'd just turned around and done that and just fought the joke back with like confidence or something like that, it would have been all right. It would have just squashed it, and they would never talk about the car again. But she's like, she's gone. What did she say?
She went, she goes, at this point I said, I choose not to buy a new car because frankly, cars are expensive. They continued to push the topic and said that they don't understand how they can afford to buy nice cars and I can't. And I was getting annoyed at this point. I said, well, I don't understand how I can afford a house and you guys can't.
That's
personal. No, no. Why is that personal?
That is personal.
So they said to her, we don't understand why you can't buy a nice car and we can. And yeah. She said to them, I don't understand why you can't buy a house and I can and I have. I don't understand how that's
personal.
Right,
so basically, that is the response that she should have given first. Like something like that. If she'd have come back with a response like that.
And now, they've
If she'd have said something like, oh, well, at least I can pay my rent. Like, it's funny. Do you know what I mean? This is banter that friends have.
The point is, it's okay to
have
banter.
But it's like, I can't be around someone that just gets emotional every time I say something that is like, you know, that and they construe it as, oh, my God, like,
but let me just say something quickly. The same way you take jokes and the same way certain things are not that deep to you is not the same as everyone else. And I think that's what the threshold between friendship is. If someone's repeating something, whether it's a car, a house, a dog, my child, a makeup set, if you came to me and said, yeah, I don't like the way you do your eyeliner. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that,
no,
I wouldn't take
weird.
That to heart. Do you know what I mean?
No, that is weird. Like, I would take that to heart. But if it was something that is far removed from me,
but
from
how
my,
do you,
from
what
my
I'm
face,
trying to say?
If it's an object, you're making fun of an object, I couldn't
it
care
doesn't
less.
Matter though, because what you find personal is different to what other people find personal.
I just think
and
it
she's
depends
allowed
on how
to
much
be
meaning.
Annoyed by that. That's
I just
what I'm
think it's. I think it's to do with the meaning that she attaches to the car.
But that's what I'm trying to say to you.
Like,
and that's
what did
she
say? Her mum bought her the car when she was 16 years old, or something like that.
Her mum and dad both helped her buy the car, but the point is, it's
so maybe
not about,
that's why she's getting upset about it.
She's getting upset because her friends keep repeating these catty comments to her that she
doesn't
like.
It's not a catty comment on it, it's a joke.
No, but the thing is, what your perception of a joke is different to what other people think. If she's saying
I think
to
it
you,
just depends on
she,
people's
let me speak for a
levels.
Second. If she's saying to you, I'm taking this personal, yeah, would you keep repeating it?
No, but did she say that?
She told them, let's just drop the subject.
No, she didn't. She just basically, she like, you know when you just...
You brush it off.
She brushed it off. So she wasn't clear from the jump. If she was clear from the beginning and said, look, guys, this is not something I want to talk about, can we...
She just said, I plan to drive the car until it dies and then I move on to another subject.
Like, if it's something that you've taken seriously, it's not a conversation that you'd continue to, like, discuss. So you just draw the line under it. You'd set the boundary there. Do you know what I mean? But... She didn't. And then they made the joke again. Like, I'm not going to lie.
I just feel like...
That I have the sort of friendship that I can make jokes like that. She might not. That's probably
but that's
where.
What I'm saying. That's
she might just
difference.
Be a very sensitive soul.
I just think people need to respect other people's boundaries. And I feel like, if you can tell, you firstly don't know what other people take personal. Do you know
I think
I mean?
You can usually gauge from someone's reaction when they feel uncomfortable with... something that's said by someone else. Like, you can usually tell when someone feels uncomfortable, in which case you would instinctively know to stop. But I don't think she gave any indication that she felt uncomfortable about it, which is probably why they continued. But then she continued to the point where she, you know what I mean?
She did she had to do a little jab back,
and I'm glad
she
did. I think she should have done that. She either should have done that in the beginning, or she should have told them, guys, this is really affecting me. Please don't talk about it. But I don't know. Like, I don't think she's the arsehole. I don't think the friends are the arsehole. I don't think she's the arsehole either. It's just literally squabbling amongst friends.
What are your no-go zones in argument, not arguments but disagreements with friends? And I think it's difficult for us because I feel like,
I think, as we're growing up together,
yeah, I just feel like our family will touch it, it doesn't matter, but yeah. Like, not us two, but I'm saying friends, what's like your no-go zone? I'm not gonna lie, I used to get emotional very quickly.
Really?
I used to get very emotional very quickly. And I
I'm not going to say the word, but I'm not going to say the syndrome.
Oh, only child syndrome. I don't think so, because I've met some other only children that are. Maybe, you never know.
Nurture versus nature, you never know.
That's why they tell you to bang out two kids when you get married, isn't it? So you've got your sibling to basically...
My children are not
beef
my siblings.
With. And then you've got someone to also like do the little back and forth with. And
not it, really.
And it's character building.
I mean, at character building at 28, it's a bit late, don't you think?
No, honey, pass the boat.
No, like, you need to character build when you're young.
Yeah. But the threshold for me would probably be if it's like something I've told them in confidence and they brought it up, or if it's something.
What if someone was consistently throwing jabs at you about something related to your personality?
But I feel like the reason why they're able to consistently, you said the word consistently, the reason why they're able to do that and they feel comfortable doing that is because you've provided them that safe passage for them to be able to do that. You've not at once addressed it. You haven't tried to stop it. Like, you've allowed them to do that to you. Now, if that was me in that situation, I would present a jab back.
So you wouldn't address it, but you would jab them back.
I'll just jab back. If it's something that doesn't bother me. If it's
no,
something...
You know what I mean? If someone just throws a little catty comment, like...
Bang. Yeah, like a catty comment, I'll just be like, well, look at your face. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's what I do. Or you'll just shut up or something. I was like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just thought, this is what we do. I'll like, someone says something like, oh, Harvard, your eyebrow is like half off today. You haven't really filled them in.
What if someone did that to you in front of others? Would that trigger you a little bit?
If it was around the people that I didn't know.
So let's say you're in a group, you're out.
Yeah,
you're
no, that's, in a that group, just shows
and
that.
And someone comes up to you and they're just like, oh yeah, there's something wrong with your eyebrow there.
I'd be like, you dog.
But don't you think
why didn't you take me to the bathroom?
Exactly.
And tell me there.
Or a little whisper.
No, I don't like people that, I, do you know what I don't like? I don't like people whose personalities change around new people. Mm. Like, personalities change to the point where they're being someone you've never seen before. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and then also there's slight digs coming at you, or there's slight digs coming at your friends that you've all
And
come
I think
with.
This happens a lot when you're
early
with early
teens.
On, early teens, when you're hanging out with boys.
Mm.
And you get the, oh
my God, I got you.
It's called riding out for the D. Like, it's just stuff that you do for the D.
It's like pick me, but extreme
it's
levels.
Okay, you know what? I'm not judging because I've been a pick me once or twice. I'm going to admit that. In my teens, I remember one time and my friend had to just like look at me like, can you relax?
Harder, this isn't you.
And then I was like, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? But I internalized that and I remembered. I was like, why am I acting this way? Because...
Like
I was nervous,
people.
There's different people. I felt like I had to change my personality
yeah.
to like make them like me. But it was a good, I'm happy that I experienced that early on to check myself.
Mm.
But there's a lot of pick me's.
That have continued to be pick me's to the point where it's now a part of their personality. And those ones I've got to, you know what I mean?
Like, let me ask you a question.
I can't.
Now that it's getting...
I can't be around them. No, sorry.
I've got memories
flooding
in.
It makes me so uncomfortable. Because, okay, like, you know what I do? You know when I'm uncomfortable, I just start laughing. Like, I know, I just start laughing at you.
But it's okay. I think what's nice about pick-me's is if you can ask, if you can say to your friend, listen, relax.
Like, me, you're I'm acting the sort of a
certain
person.
Way right now. I would have that conversation afterwards.
Are you the sort of person around new
or
people?
Or take them to the side and be like, chill out.
Yeah. But are you the sort of person when you're presented with, like, a group of new people, some of them are boys, do you become like boisterous and loud?
No.
Or do you go
no
inward?
I wait, so I would go, yeah. I normally go inwards,
yeah,
I assess the situation, see, yes, what everyone's saying,
yeah,
and then I'll start talking,
yeah,
but I'm only gonna start but talking I feel like if my I have someone that I know with me.
But I feel like the way I speak, it's not my true self.
No, I will never be my true self with new people. Yeah, I'm so sorry,
it's
guys. Not me.
It's just like very surface, yeah, level, quite monotone. Yeah, a few like laughs.
Yeah, like I'll try and engage in the conversation if it's interesting. If the conversation is very interesting,
yeah,
or if it's something I'm interested in and I have you with me or our friends,
we've got a bit of backup.
We've got backup. Yeah. I'll get a bit more confident, mm, and I'll say a few words.
Yes.
You know, I might even throw in a question.
Exactly.
But if I'm by myself, I love how we're the same. If I'm by myself, I go inwards. I think you're quite bubbly though. I think you're a very good palate cleanser when you meet new people.
It just depends who it is. Like, it just depends on the personalities that I'm around. Like, if it's someone that I can already sense, you know that when you meet someone new, you know who's good vibes and you know who you're not going to get along with. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So, like, sometimes you meet people with so much energy. And then you're like, wow, like, okay.
I love this. And you bounce off it. Like,
yeah. And then it's like the best thing that happened and it's made your day.
Yeah.
But then sometimes, like, you'll meet people that
they just give you, like, very...
It's like my heart is not...
Anxiety.
My heart is not at ease right now.
It's just very awkward, staggered conversation.
Exactly. And sometimes you get the starers.
Oh, God. I don't know what to do about the starers.
I don't know.
Have you ever been in a situation... Actually, I've got two questions. I'm going to come back to the pick me as well. But have you ever been in a situation where you've met, like... You've got no one that you know in the room. You are just by yourself with all these new people and you're forced to like network and make conversation.
It is the hardest thing for me.
It makes me want to vomit because I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to physically move my legs.
Yeah.
Or go across the room.
To go and talk to
just
you.
Just be like, hi, my name is Hov. Like,
do you know what's even worse? Shall I tell you what's even worse about a situation like that is... When people in the networking event, because they're expert networkers and they probably met each other from another event.
They know each other. And then you're standing there by yourself. and then you just quietly walk away with your drink.
Do you know what I mean? A little finger food.
You just fade into the masses, fade into the wall.
Oh, that's really hard. I don't know how people do it. But you know what? If you're able to navigate a situation like that, hats off to you.
Honestly, give us some pointers. I'd really love it.
Like some icebreakers.
Literally. What's a good icebreaker conversation? I think... But you know what else I think? If it's a one-to-one, I can handle it.
One-to-one's... Fine,
I can handle a one-to-one.
If it's
more than four people,
if the event is tailored to a specific
niche,
topic,
yeah,
and it's not a topic that you really know about, one thing I hate is people talking. You know when someone's talking to you
and they're saying a lot,
and you know for a fact they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Mm. They're just speaking to be seen. Mm-mm. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely know that. And I just stand there and I think, okay,
yeah,
thank you. I'll look into this.
They're just chatting the most.
Or they talk about things that you would never talk about, and I don't blame them because maybe that's stuff that they're interested in.
Yeah,
but in your mind, you're just like, I'm here, I'm standing. Please talk about things
that you know. That's universal, just
common things,
universal things that everyone knows.
Do you know what I mean?
The weather, please.
The sky.
Give me the weather.
Let's talk about British London society.
Let's talk about the new Prime Minister.
Things that I can talk about. Do you know what I mean? Let's talk about how the tubes are really. It's hot and the central line in the summer is just it's too much.
But no, they're saying things like the hegemonic hierarchy,
it's too much. I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe it's me because I'm dumb. Yeah. Okay, I will admit it, I'm dumb.
Same, I'm dumb.
My brain, I can.
There's only so much. Sometimes I go back and Google what they were talking about.
I do.
Because I'm like, what the hell does this even mean?
There's a certain situation that I Googled something. I can't say it on air because I'll embarrass myself. And I died. I was like, what the hell? I would never read this. Anyway, going back to the pick me situation, what I was going to say to you is, come on, every teenager has had
a pick me phase.
A pick me phase.
100%.
What is something crazy that you've done for a guy?
Oh my God, I can't.
Shall I admit mine?
Yeah, go on, you go first. I can't.
Okay. I once bought a Southwest train station ticket for a guy because he said he'll take me somewhere, so I bought him the ticket.
Well, you couldn't afford the ticket.
I just felt bad. So I bought him the ticket and he never came.
No. He never came.
He stood me up. That was such a pick me moment.
Quite muggy.
That is, he was a prick. Really, like, but then he came back afterwards. So
he came back crying.
Yeah, he was like, do you know when they message you after? It's like, hi. Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, that was. Don't message me again.
Do you know what I did once? Oh my God, I can't even believe I'm admitting this.
It's okay. It's natural. I'm not those people now.
So basically, I think you were there. Do you remember the time I got the Fanta No Ice for that boy?
Oh my God.
I want to. You know when you just want to strangle yourself?
But that was peer pressure.
Yeah,
we pressured you.
But still.
But that was still.
But can I just say, did he take my number? Did he ask for the...
He was shocked.
Did he ask for the socials?
He was shocked.
Like, I was literally like, on my mug, that was £4.95. Like, I want my money back. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, fair to you, you were pressured. Secondly, I don't think he even came over.
No, he did. Oh, he did. He came over and says, thank you for the drink, but what's your phone number? Let's go around the back and have a chat. I didn't get none of that.
He might have been in a relationship.
I think he's married now.
I think he is. I remember seeing his wedding on Instagram.
How embarrassing.
But you know what we learned?
You know, like, I'm so embarrassed. I feel hot right now. Like,
burning
up. Imagine he watches this podcast.
But you know what it is? I think these are universal things.
Character building.
It's character building. It also teaches you what your worth is with men. I'm letting you know now.
I'm glad I did it when I was quite young.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
At the 30, sending drinks.
Over
kill
my
me
dead
now.
Body.
Kill
Would
me
I
now.
Ever get a drink for a man? Fanta No Ice.
I feel like that drink situation only works for people that drink alcohol.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think that drink situation only works for people that drink alcohol.
No, but a woman buying a drink.
They're inebriated already. So it's like a little conversation. It should never, ever happen. But I feel like that's more of a thing. I feel like when you don't drink alcohol and you're getting a Fanta.
No, but you know what? That Jay Huss song. Just came out.
I remember.
So Fanta No Ice was a lit drink.
Yeah, it was. It actually is really nice.
I'm upset that he didn't acknowledge the irony. I'm upset that he didn't ask for my number. And
but you know, some guys don't actually
approach women anymore.
They don't. Number one, guys don't approach women anymore. Number two, guys, I feel like feel uncomfortable when a woman's forward.
Yes.
They feel very like uncomfortable. That. They don't like that.
That makes them switch off. It's like you've emasculated me.
But if you're not approaching, how should I shoot my shot? I think there's times to shoot your shot.
But I feel for girls. You know what? I'm not mad at shooting your shot.
No, I don't.
I'm not mad at women who shoot their shot because it is like a wasteland out here.
It is. It's so bad.
It's so hard. Men are no longer approaching women. What they do is they give you the eye.
And they walk away. It's very strange.
It's like, why have you beeped me for that long, but you've not given me any conversation?
Or it's these dating apps now.
They'll message you when you get home on Instagram. Hey, I'm not sure if you noticed me, but I noticed you noticing me, so here I am, noticing you back.
An hour, 10 hours later. But do you feel online. Like it's better to message someone than to approach them? I like the old-fashioned way, I'll be honest.
I like the talking. You know what it is? The thing is, like, now knowing this whole, like, men don't really like women approaching them, although some may do, but I'd say the majority do feel a little bit like,
oh, what's like,
overwhelmed by the whole situation. Like, I just think it's important for women to not approach men for the purposes that they intend to, but just make it about something.
Yeah, something basic. Something like, basic. That's what I was thinking in my head.
To understand how
introduce
this person.
Introduce yourself, hi. How
yeah, because
like,
then that's when you'll understand whether or not the person really likes you.
And also having a conversation initially, a normal, mundane conversation.
Platonic.
Literally will give you a normal liking. Vibe. Mm. And once you get a normal vibe and you understand you can at least bounce off each other, then maybe you see where he takes the conversation.
Yeah. So I think, you know what women can do? Women can just chat to guys. I think they should chat to them.
Yeah.
They should be ballsy enough to be able to go over and just have a chat. But I don't think that chat should in any way reveal their intention. Because then if the guy is actually interested, he'll be like, oh, so how can we stay in touch? Or like, do you know what I mean?
There'll be an eagerness and you'll know. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We've dived off topic.
We really have. What was the original scenario?
It was about friends talking shit.
Friends
about
talking
someone's
shit.
Car. But the point is, guys, just be happy. Support your friends.
Yeah.
You know, some people are a little bit more sensitive than others.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we can't control that.
It's
true. You just have to adopt it.
Just off that point of some people being more sensitive than others, usually you know in your friendship group who is more sensitive than others and who to not direct the banter too. Do you
some
know what I
can
mean?
Take it.
Some can take it.
And some can't.
Yes.
And you've got to respect
There's
that.
Also dishes that can't take it.
That's true.
So you just need to know your friends.
You need to know the boundary level. And you also need to know when to apologise and just move on from a situation. Because honestly, the worst thing in life it's is holding even, grudges.
It's not it's, even for a bloody
for
piece
a car,
of metal.
It's not even that deep. Honestly, all she has to do is say, love, I'm keeping my car. I like it. Mm. If you like fancy cars, cool. You've got one. Yeah. Safe. Do you know what I mean? Leave it at that.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, should we move on to the next scenario?
Yeah, we will. I'm good.
48 minutes in. Good Lord.
Okay, cool, guys. But scenario anyway. Number two.
So, guys, this scenario is titled, Help! Dealing with a clingy friend.
Whoa. They're headphones, love. You've screamed in their ears.
Look. But this is how they're
oh,
writing.
Okay, cool.
Help! Dealing with a clingy friend. This is the most dramatic thing ever. It's like, help, I'm falling off a boat. Anyway, I need some advice because I don't know how else to approach this with a friend who is just super clingy. I've been friends with her for a while, but most recently she started calling me and texting me more. Then she started calling daily, sometimes twice a day. Most of the conversations are about herself, and I started to feel suffocated. I work full-time and have 3 kids. I try to ignore some of her calls, but she doesn't get it. For instance, she used to call me during her lunch break at work when I was at work and can't pick up. Or on her way home from work when I just walk in the door and try to prepare dinner for the kids and can't talk. Mm-hmm. She then sends me follow-up texts if I haven't called her in 2 to 3 days asking if I'm okay because she hasn't heard from me.
Okay, that's normal.
I keep telling... Are you the clingy friend? Oh, God. I keep telling her, yes, I'm okay.
Oh, okay. She's messaging back.
But I'm busy working and busy with the kids. I don't know really what else to say to her. I don't know if I should just come right out and tell her I need space, but I know that will offend her.
Oh,
what do I do?
Okay. Right. There's forms to clinginess. Right, so can we just go over how many times she sees... So she's calling her...
2 to 3 times a day.
Okay. That's a bit... It's a bit much, but you know what it is? If she just spoke to her once...
They need a group chat. There
they do. They do, to vent whatever. So there's stages to this, okay? There's people that I call, like yourself, randomly when I'm bored, when I'm going on a walk... I
think there's people,
but there's
an unsaid thing where you're allowed to call each other whenever,
all the time.
Sometimes I call you at 12 o'clock at night.
It doesn't matter.
But some, but then I sometimes I do feel, oh my god, I've called her too late. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I'm always awake. So yeah. It's okay.
But you know what I mean? There's unsaid rules between friends that means
exactly
we have that.
There's people that I speak to on, let's say, group chats or whatever, that I won't necessarily FaceTime.
Never one-to-one FaceTime.
No, one-to-one. Because
it's just not the
we've
vibe.
We've got a friendship, but it's not that level.
Yeah.
It's not that vibey.
It's not that, yeah.
It's not the calling vibey. We need to speak all
it's
the time.
It's not support bubble.
Exactly.
There we go.
Right. Okay. So in this case, with this lady, number one, she needs to figure out, this lady that's calling her continuously has put her in this bubble. But she doesn't want to be in the bubble.
Yeah.
Right, you get it. So what she needs to do is either answer the three times she's called. If she called her three times and she hasn't picked up the phone, I would personally take that as a hint someone doesn't want to talk to you. But you can take that a bit more personally.
There are some socially awkward people that don't understand cues.
Yeah,
and
I get
stuff
that.
Like that.
But so, also, if I was the friend that was clingy, I would get a bit personal with that. Like, just tell me that you
don't
want
to speak.
Yeah,
I can't come to the phone. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or just speak to her one time to let her get out whatever she wants to talk about. Maybe she'll enjoy the conversation
and
as well.
And then do a little cheeky, oh, my mum's calling, I've got to go.
Exactly.
Look at that.
You've problem solved
the problem.
Or if it gets worse, you don't want to lose this friendship if someone that you really value. All she has to say is, listen, I'm not really a phone person.
No, before that.
No, but I'm saying if it continues.
Yeah, but before that, put your phone on Do Not Disturb. Do Not Disturb is an excellent excuse.
Can I just say, I've discovered Do Not Disturb recently. Like, the freshie I am. I knew what it was, but I didn't know
Do Not Disturb is so nifty that you can select people
that
bypass the Do Not Disturb.
Aye, gilly.
I'm gilly
now.
Put me in. All right.
But the point is, when I discover Do Not Disturb, peace.
Game changer.
Peace. Prosperity.
Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I don't get a
single mine just says
call.
Work. I put it on work mode.
Work mode is the best one because work mode doesn't allow calls.
And
to
whenever
come
I
in.
Get to my location at work, it always automatically puts on work mode for
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know how amazing that is?
Yeah, my phone.
So what I like about this work mode is I don't get a single
no notifications.
You know, oh my god! Sometimes though, I'll jump on a meeting and I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and you'll just see the FaceTime blown up. Like
the FaceTime, the group chat is all blowing
up. I'm like, oh my god! Like,
what's
I
going
forgot
on?
To put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and then you put it back on Do Not Disturb. It's like peace
silence,
is restored.
Peace. But that's what I'm saying. She needs to look at other ways to restore her peace
before
she has
telling
that deep
her
conversation.
Friend that she has the problem. Yeah,
I agree.
Exactly.
But yeah, clingy friends. I think some people just have a higher threshold. They need attention. They need that source of...
Do you know what I was going to say?
What?
You know, if it's a clingy friend, yeah? But the clingy friend has tea.
What do you do?
I still talk to them. I don't go, darling. Tired, old, exhausted me.
Listen.
Will entertain that conversation because I need to know.
And then when the tea comes, you'll just be like, oh, mom's calling. Because Sheikh Chahil means story lover.
We love stories.
We love a bit of tea. But because you love that much tea, I mean, no one can
withstand. I will exhaust
that.
Myself for the tea.
The point is. But I mean, overall, I think there's ways to manage clingy friends. I think you just have to be vocal about your boundary, what you can work with.
Yeah.
But also be mindful, this person, if they don't know what you want,
but
they're
also
not going to know that.
The friend should have some foresight because this woman is working full time and she's
got
two kids. Do you know what I mean?
Three kids.
Like, I know for a fact when I call Arthur and she doesn't pick up, that she's busy dealing with those little rugrats. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just know that. I just know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas this girl doesn't seem to. That's what I'm saying. She's got issues understanding cues, or the friend isn't being obvious.
Forthcoming.
But
I
explaining
think once
why,
you explain your situation and she continues to do it, then I think you can take harsher terms. But right now, I think once you explain it, I don't think anyone would take any
offence
to that at all.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, clingy friends.
I wouldn't mind a clingy friend. No, actually, no, I can't. I'm sorry. I would just be the person that never answers the phone.
But I think it's okay to be that person.
Yeah,
because sometimes I don't. And sometimes I like to take a little hiatus from speaking to people, and I think that's healthy.
But you know what I do? When I realise that I've overshared a lot with my friends, I'll just go find someone else to overshare with. It's very unhealthy.
Or like, I'll go to my family.
I was like, I've not spoken to like a particular friend that's outside the group chat for a little while or something. Oh, let's go and talk to them. See if they'll have me today.
Someone outside of your bubble.
Yeah.
Just to jazz it up a bit.
Because you haven't spoken to them for a little while, that conversation is going to be lit.
Juicy. Yeah. Because you haven't had an update in a while.
Yeah.
But you know what friendships I love? Friendships that people that you can be like gone for a long time, you meet up again and the vibe is still there.
The vibe's the vibe.
Vibe's the vibe. You're still cracking jokes. There's nothing. And then you go about your lives.
Yeah.
I think it's adult relationships.
I really like that.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like there isn't... you know, you get some friends that are just so... You know what it is? Usually I find with clingy people that the issue is with the clingy...
You're busy. You're not busy enough. That's what I think.
It's the clinger, yeah. Is it the clinger?
The clingy.
The clingy. The person who is clingy.
Clinging.
The problem is they've got a lot of... they don't have a lot of friends.
They don't have a lot of friends, and also they've got a lot of time.
A lot of time, yeah.
You're not busy enough. You're not doing anything.
Yeah, but sometimes they'll be busy. They'll be just as busy as you, working the same hours as you.
They don't have that bubble to have. And you know what? I actually, I can't really speak on that. Alhamdulillah, like I've been blessed with having friends, but not a lot of people have in their lives.
And we get quite a lot of messages of people saying that they don't have support.
A good support bubble. And I always think, what's the easiest way? I really struggle with making friends now than when I was younger. I think a lot of my friends are from when I was young.
Yeah. But I think because those friendships are so
have lasted, that it's
you
just,
don't feel the need to
look for others.
Yeah.
But good ways to, you know, create friendships. And you know what? There need to be better huddles. But a cute little networking events for Muslim women or women in general.
I know, but the ones that isn't
centered around, like, just think, a games night,
our
live show, guys.
That's basically going to be speed dating for friendships.
That's what I love. We should do that, guys, because I want to make new friends too.
For friendships. That is such a brilliant idea, isn't it?
And then in the end, we can create a group chat from that meeting.
Whoa.
And then you stay connected.
And then you go on your little brunch dates.
And there you go.
Friendships solidified.
And then we can do like anniversaries.
Oh my God, we really need to do a live show.
Guys, we really do need to do a live show.
We could actually create...
That's such a good idea. High five.
Yeah, it's a networking
event. No one steal it.
A networking event where there isn't like the...
don't want BS networking events.
Yeah, you know where you have the obvious emotions of networking that makes you anxious. It's none of that, babes. This is a safe
space. This is a safe, fun space. We're going to do games.
We're going to have a laugh.
Yeah. There's going to be a button. Ding.
Beep.
Every time, next person go. I'm even going to get in on it because I want some new friends.
Same. No, I'm sorry, but that is the best idea.
I need to diversify my group.
Yeah.
I need friends from all.
From all walks of life.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I feel like having the same friends all the time also makes you a bit dumb. Is that really bad to say?
You're trying to say now?
No, because we just have the...
No, but
we've lived the same lives. We have the same...
And we go to the same places.
We have the same thoughts about things. We literally...
We think the same.
We know what we're even thinking by looking at each other.
It's been too long.
We're too dumb. We need to branch out, meet some people.
Guys, that's it. We've got an idea now. The oversharers, live speed
dating. The oversharers and friends.
Friends date. What should we call it?
Make a friend today.
What the hell? Guys, if you can come up with a name for our first live show.
No, I'm sorry. We have to do speed dating for friends.
We have to because it's needed.
Yeah, there's actually needed.
We need it. We're going to have everything and we'll even give you like pointers to start the conversation off with.
You know, we'll stick it on the table, take me out, and they go to the Fernando's Island together. Imagine we arrange for them to go on a holiday together.
Oh my God. Well, if the sponsors pay for it, yeah, then, you know,
we're broke.
But if the sponsors take your group to the island of Fernando.
How amazing
would that?
They're either going to come back as best friends or they're going to come back hating each other.
Let's not talk about going on holiday with friends. Not. I think they need to solidify the relationship first, in this country.
Before they go on holiday.
Go on a few brunch dates, a day out.
Maybe try a staycation before an aeroplane.
Yeah, because, oh God, just the...
It's just a lot. It's a lot.
It's just a lot. And maybe you can categorise the friends as the organiser... The entertainer.
The architect.
The architect.
The debater.
The what's it called? The one that does all the picture taking and videography and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking
the one that cooks.
You know that personality test? I think every friendship group that's formed at our event should take that personality test
together.
Yeah.
And the friendship group that stays for a year...
Gets a prize. Following gets the holiday.
Gets the holiday. But the friendship group that stays for a year and comes to our next annual live show.
As a group.
Cultivated. And they show us the WhatsApp date where that chat started.
Yeah. We have the receipt.
We have the receipt.
They're getting a holiday.
Right, I think that's it, guys. My headscarf's fallen off. The ideas have just... blown out of us.
I know, but it was really nice chatting to you once again, Hod. It's been a little while.
I know. I actually missed our podcast people, and I missed you.
I missed you too.
I feel like we weren't really conversating because
we weren't really connecting. We were just dancing.
They know what can we do?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I actually did miss you.
Same.
Missed you, love.
I know.
Anyway, guys, it's been amazing. We really love you guys. I've got work tomorrow.
You're going to the gym now.
Tomorrow morning I am.
Really?
I went to boot camp this morning.
I should warn you.
It's finished.
It opens at 6:30, not 6.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Boot camp's at 7 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. Do you want to do it? No, tomorrow's HIIT.
No, I can't do boot camp.
No.
What did I do today? I just did like a little incline walk today. But it was just to ease you in.
Yeah. But, I start my thing with 12:30.
So
incline
12. Oh, incline 13:30.
Yeah, it's for 30 minutes.
Three is really slow, do you not think?
It is, so I do 4.55.
I do 4, yeah.
Anyway, that's what I did. And then I did...
What do you think of that? Do you like it?
I like it. I got... When it gets to 15 minutes, it's painful.
Yeah, it's a bit boring though.
But it's boring though. But I it was just to ease me in.
Yeah, I did it today.
But what I was going to say to you is so I go to the gym Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday. And then my last day is on a Saturday.
But we're not going together
because I need to hold myself accountable.
Yeah.
But one of those days I'm doing weight training, so come with me.
Okay, fine.
So we can do that.
But anyway, guys, it was so nice to come back to the podcast. I had such a great time. Oh, you had a great time?
I did, guys. We love you guys. And inshallah, we'll speak to you guys soon.
Also, thank you so much for 10,000 downloads.
God, yeah, we should have started off with that.
I completely forgot.
Yeah, guys.
10,000 of you downloaded the episodes. I'm like, wow.
We love you guys, honestly.
And sometimes like we look at the insights of like where you guys are based and it shocks me.
Some of you guys in Russia.
Wow.
The Russia. Maldives, India, big up India.
Amazing.
Do you know what I mean? Those of you in the USA, honestly. Oh God. Camera's gone off. Anyway, those of you in the USA, Egypt, Algeria, Somalia, are big up to the people in the UK.
Guys, no, though. Honestly, we love you guys so much. Let's get it to 20,000 downloads.
And inshallah, we'll let you know about the live show now that we've thought of the idea.
Yeah, no, we have to actually start planning that now.
No, we actually have to. But anyway, love you guys.
Recommend some venues for us.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. If you like want to host it as well, come through.
Oh my God, yeah. Anyway. But thank you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.